Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, take me by the saving power. Hear my plea, my feeble plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me. Kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Wander through the valley, dim toward the setting of the sun. Lead me safely to the land of rest if I a crown of life have won. I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, take me by the saving power. Hear my plea, my feeble plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me. Kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
Amen, amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And thank you so much for being here again tonight. Let's ask him to help us again. Father, we come to you this evening, Lord. And God, we need you so much. And sometimes in our lives, it's so easy to get distracted from our own need of you, and we fail to realize sometimes just how much we do need you. God, tonight as we stand here, though, we ask you to show us that tonight, how deep our need is for you. But Lord, we also ask you to show us how to better be yielded to you in our life and allow you to help us. God, we know tonight that all power is in you, and greater is he that is in us than in this world, and there is nothing, Lord, greater than you. God, sometimes we feel so defeated in our spiritual life, and sometimes we get so distracted from the things of life and the burdens of life, the worries of life, the pressures of life. Lord, we just forget that it is Christ that we need. So God, I'm asking you tonight, will you help me as a Christian, as a pastor, as a husband, as the daddy, that you'll help me, Lord, to do my part tonight, to be yielded to you, and every man and every woman and young person in this room tonight would also offer themselves, Lord, as a sacrifice, Lord, if we can, to you, of worship, and allow you to do your work in us this evening like you want to. And God, you want to help us. You don't want us to be hopeless. You want to be there for us and do your work in us. And so God, tonight, will we let you do that? Lord, I pray as we continue to sing and give and fellowship one another that tonight you'll be glorified and honored. You'll be with Brett in a little bit as he sings. You'll help him. And Well, I thank you for him, and just continue to work around us, among us, and through us. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. We pray in your name, and all God's people say it. Amen, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. You can be seated tonight. And so good to have you back with us in our evening service. And I mentioned several announcements this morning. I'm sorry about some of the ones I didn't there. One thing tonight, about half of our nursery workers are not here tonight. Some for other reasons. A couple are out of town. And so we will probably try to do that next Sunday night for the nursery workers. And so if and that way we do have the meeting ready. If you'd like the notes, you can take them home with you and be looking over them. I can give you those right after church, but we will do that next week. That way we can have everybody here available with us. And then also, I mentioned this morning about the men's retreat in Northport, Alabama, near Tuscaloosa. Listen, it's a great time to go. And the reason we're trying to put it out there ahead of time, almost a month away, is so you can plan to be off if you're able to do that. But guys, I promise you this, it'll be worth your while to go to that spiritually. Brother Curtis Linton is going to be preaching, and Brother Nate Ainge will be preaching. And they're going to be preaching to us as men, teens, and your boys need to go to as well. You can sign up for that at the Welcome Center, though, and we're going to try to figure out how transporting a van, a couple vans, bus, whatever we need to do, vehicles, getting there. So help us sign up if you can. Then teen camp, don't forget about parents, those that have not signed up yet, please go ahead and try to do that. If you're having any complications with that or anything like that, please let Brother Ricky and Miss Luann know, or myself, and see us about that. We really do want everybody to go ahead and sign up so we can have everybody ready on board to be able to go to camp this summer when we do that. Okay, so I want to make sure to mention those announcements to you. And then tonight we're going to sing again. Now, I know this next song, you may look at it and say, "Brother Joey, that's a kid song," but it's not a kid song. It's one we need to be reminded, and I'm going to be preaching on here in just a little bit, how the Lord helps us. If you will, take your hymn book. Let's go to number 87 tonight, 87, and let's sing together, "Jesus Loves Me." Tonight, if you will, let's stand together, number 87. Let's sing "Jesus Loves Me" as they lead us.
Hey, Brother Joey, I'm going to do something.
Do something.
A little bit off. We're going to sing "Jesus Loves Me," but then we're going to sing another song. And Miss D brought this song to our, I'm throwing something on her real quick. But 339 is a song that says, "I shall not be moved." And if you've been coming to Sunday school, especially this morning, Paul was telling Timothy to preach God's word. But in order to preach God's word, you've got to know God's word. And if you know God's word, no matter what the devil throws on you, you shall not be moved. So we're going to sing "Jesus Loves Me," but then when we get through, we're going to go to 339 and sing "I Shall Not Be Moved." Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me still, though I'm very weak and ill. From his shining throne on high comes to watch me where I lie. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. I turn to page 339. I hope you know it, but ever since she played it a while ago, this song has just been on my heart. And
man, let's sing.
We're going to sing it.
Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchor in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
You can be seated. This time, Ramiki's going to come do birthdays and anniversaries for us.
I about forgot about that. Did we have any birthdays last week? Got one. Got two. Anybody else? All right, let's sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. How about anniversary? Oh, look at him. Finally got somebody that's married. Nah. Anybody else before we sing? Miss D. All right. I didn't see her. All right, well, let's sing. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
God bless. I'm going to ask our ushers if they'll come. We're going to go ahead and prepare to take up our evening tithes and offerings. And I appreciate your faithfulness, too, to be here tonight into the house of God. Pray for one another, too. Mention those this morning. If you will, pray for Bridget's brother that is in the hospital. We still have not heard for sure. They did MRI and tests on his brain to try to see if they caught the meningitis in time, that it won't turn into something worse. That can be life-threatening or definitely cognitive for the rest of his life if they didn't. And so pray for them, and Mama and Papa gone there, and then pray for David and Jenny. I do believe they made it down to Florida tonight for their family. I mentioned this morning, I said his aunt was passing away, but it is his uncle, and he was taking his aunt down there. And so continue to remember them in prayer, and I continue to remember Chris and Jennifer as well, and others as well this morning that we need to be praying for. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Anybody else we need to mention tonight? I don't want to leave anybody out that I forgot about. And let's pray for them. Continue to remember Wayne and his family too. Okay, let's pray together. Shay, will you pray for our offering this evening? Father, thank you for loving us tonight, being good to us, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord Jesus, thank you for that truth. Love us tonight. God, apart from you tonight, nothing means anything, Lord. Jennifer, my name is Andrew. Lord, I pray you be with them, Lord. I'll praise you for what you're doing in people's lives this morning. Amen, amen.
A wretch like me, about the angels singing, for redemption.
y'all see that trick Scott just did with the offering plate? Did y'all see that? And amen? That's right. Hey, listen, I want you to go ahead, if you will, take your Bibles and go to Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'm so glad you're here on Sunday night. This is my favorite service that we're in. And our family, it's just our church family tonight. And I love being here with you and being together, our kids, our teens, our adults, everybody in here. It's just a blessing to be here tonight and to enjoy. I tell you, and how many of you this morning in Sunday school, when you were helped by that, especially the end where Paul talked about the relationships and different people and stuff, and what a blessing it was. You know, one of the things about being a Christian is this, is you get to meet some awesome people. Amen. You get to meet some. Now, you also get to meet some people who's like, they're awesome in their own awesome way. Amen. But, you know, we've got all the kind of people like that. If you're wondering who that is, it's probably you that people are thinking about. Amen. And but, hey, you know what? One of the things about being a Christian is you get to meet people so different than you, and Christ has made everything common. You can, I've said this a lot. I've said it before. You learn to love people you don't even like, and it's crazy, or like in life, I mean. And but you do it because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, before I can preach tonight, one of our favorite people. Everybody here is our favorite people. We love everybody. Amen. And we love everybody here. Amen. Amen. But hey, I love Brett, and I'm thankful for Brett. And Brett does a lot here at the church. He breaks a lot of stuff. He messes up a lot of stuff. He does a lot of good stuff, too. Amen. And I love and appreciate Brett. And Brett's going to sing for us tonight. And I want y'all to make him feel welcome as he gets ready to sing for us this evening.
Leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty, can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You spend your whole life chasing what's missing, that empty inside just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy, this world leaves you high and dry. Come to the well, and all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail, so leave it all behind. To the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are, when your last prayer is spoken. Just rest in my arms a while, you'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. This world will try, but it will never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. And now that you're full, a love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon the world will see that living water is found in me, 'cause I came to the well. souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fill.
Amen.
So leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind. 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 And come to the well.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. What a beautiful truth right there in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you will, let's go to Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. And a beautiful song, Brett. Thank you for practicing, praying, and singing tonight. And boy, I'm excited about getting into this evening. I pray that I can be simple and to the point and to be a blessing for you in your heart. And I know for me in my life this week it has been, and several others as well. And I want to say this too. Sometimes as Christians, before we get started tonight, sometimes as Christians, we have this question, if Jesus is really all that I need, okay? And follow me on this, all right? If Jesus saved me and he's real in my life and he's really all I need, then sometimes why do I struggle as a Christian? Why do I struggle with so many things? Even sometimes why do I feel so empty on the inside? If Jesus is really all I need, why do I feel that way in my life? And you know, a lot of times in our lives we get there, and maybe you don't a lot, but I know at times in my life I get there as a Christian. And I talked to a lady here in our church who's been saved for a little while now, last night, and just talking with her, and she was saying this. She says, sometimes I just feel like I'm not even saved, that I feel so bad. And the reality is, as Christians, we can struggle with that kind of thing because of a lack of understanding of what I'm preaching tonight. So if you will, let's stand together. Colossians chapter number 2, Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8, verse number 8. And again, if you didn't bring a Bible in front of you, the purple Bible, you can take and go to 1,263. But please keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them tonight and go through this text, if you will, as we continue our study here in Colossians. Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 8. Now look what the Bible says right here. What is the first word there in verse number 8? Beware. Now watch this. That word right there is always a word of caution. So what Paul is getting ready to say, everything he's getting ready to say, he's saying that to caution us as believers in our life. He's saying, hey, you need to beware of something. You need to be cautious of something. What do you need to be cautious of? Look what he says in verse 8. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Look at verse 9. For in him, speaking of Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, whereas also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead, we're coming to that in just a little bit, in your sins and the uncircumcision of the flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you of all your trespasses. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and together and took us, that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And this evening, I want to preach on this idea. Everything that you need is in Jesus, or no one but Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, will you help us tonight? And Lord, this evening, sometimes as believers, we will look around and we ask the question, what am I missing? What is it in my life that I'm lacking? If the Bible is true and what I've learned in Sunday school and what I'm hearing preached from the pulpit is true and Jesus is really all I need and he satisfies everything in my life, then what am I missing? And God, tonight I pray you help me to be simple and to the point that we can answer this question in our lives tonight, and that we will leave this building more focused on Christ and more determined to yield to Him in our life than ever before. So Jesus, guide us in the next few moments. Do this inside of us, Lord, like only you can. Work, make this in our heart tonight. We ask in your name, Jesus, and all God's people say it. Amen, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. In Colossians chapter number 2, verses 8 through 15, the Apostle Paul is encouraging these believers, think about this, to not be swept away with the wrong thinking in their life. Now, what does that mean? Think stinking thinking equals to stinking living. Remember that. That's not a Bible verse, but stinking thinking leads to stinking living. If you're messed up in your life tonight, it's because somewhere in your mind, you're thinking wrong that is contrary to the Word of God. But Paul here says, hey, I want you to beware. Now, what are we to be aware of? Look at verse 8, though. I want you to see what he says. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. What is he saying? He is saying you need to beware of philosophy and teaching and thinking that promotes that you need something in your life beside the Lord Jesus Christ to satisfy you in your life. Now, Brother Joey, why is this such an important doctrine for us as Christians? An important doctrine for us as Christians. Watch this. Three phases tonight I want you to see. When we have Jesus in our life, Jesus Christ is the one that saves us. If you understand what that means, say amen. But now he is also the one who is sanctifying us. What is that? And my salvation, God's work, started in my life. The sanctification is what God does in my life on a daily basis. You say, Brother Joey, I'm saved, but I've been saved for 20 years and God's not doing anything in my life. Look at me. That is not what the Bible teaches. You heard that from some false doctrine. My friend, when you got saved, God began a work in you. He will perform it to the day of Christ. You cannot run from it. You can't hide it. Hey, and as a Christian, if you don't submit to his sanctifying process, he will chastise you into obeying him and learning to surrender to him. So Jesus saves us, he sanctifies us, and hallelujah, there will be a day when he glorifies us. We will be perfect when we know Christ. We will be in the presence of Christ. Jesus Christ is all I need. He's all I need to be saved. He's all I need to live, and he's all I need when I get to heaven and to get me to heaven. Jesus is all that I need tonight. And Christian, as we live our lives on this earth, you do not need anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ to be a victorious Christian in your daily life. But you say, Brother Joey, this evening, then why did Paul tell us here that we need to beware lest any man would teach us that we need something other than Christ? Because evidently in the church at Colossae, even inside the church, there were people who were teaching people that they needed more than the Lord Jesus Christ to live in victory as a Christian. And listen tonight, Christian, the only thing that you need to live victorious is Jesus Christ in your life. Can I get a witness tonight? You say, Brother Joey, why is that important? This is why, because here are some dangerous ways I want to give you before I get started tonight, that this is being taught to us in Christianity today. Did I say the Mormons? Did I say the Jehovah's Witnesses? No, to us. What are some ways that this is being taught to us as Christians in our life now? And what it is doing is it is leading us away from Christ. Therefore, we struggle as believers. We don't walk as victory. We're not filled with Christ. And there we're not fruitful as Christians. And the church struggles. Why? Because we're not walking in Christ. And listen, a struggle in your life, a struggle in a church, it bleeds back to a hair stench move away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to be aware of these errors. What are these errors? Number one, here they are, is the error of experience. What do you mean, Brother Joey? There are some people that teach after a person has received Jesus Christ that there will be an experience with the Spirit of God that will add to what Jesus has already done. Listen tonight, did we hear this today in the hyper-charismatic churches? But we must remember that the Spirit of God's purpose is not to glorify the Spirit of God in my life, but to glorify the Son of God in my life. Can
Somebody say amen right there. And you see this all over the world today where churches are saying the Spirit this, the Spirit that. My friend, the Spirit, God himself said when the Spirit is come, he will have one job, and that will be to glorify Jesus Christ. Hey, and if somebody says the Spirit is leading them to do something that doesn't lift up Christ, it is contrary to Christ. It is doctrinal error, and it will lead you away from the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen tonight. My friend, tonight we got to be careful with this, because I'm telling you, this is happening to good people. I didn't say wicked people, good people inside the church. Story of a man standing in a clothing store, Old Navy, one day. And there was a man behind him, and he turned around, he pulled out a track, he started witnessing to the guy, and asked the guy, "Do you know Jesus?" And he said this, "I know something better." And the man said, "What do you mean you know something better?" He said, "I know something better." He said, "Have you ever got the Spirit?" And the man there, obviously, he wasn't an immature believer. He said, "Yes, I got the Spirit. The day I got saved, the Bible says I got all of the Spirit that I would ever get. When I received Christ, I was received the fullness of the Spirit. And as I was put into Christ, I was baptized into one Spirit, into Christ, and I received all that it is." He wasn't preaching to him like this. You get that, right? But he's sitting there talking to this man. He said, "No, there's something else." And he was talking about the Holy Spirit like he was some kind of ghost that sneaks upon you and takes you over and puts you out of your mind. Listen, my friend, an experience outside of a Christ is a demonic experience in our life, and we cannot allow people to tell us that we need to have something outside of Christ. My friend, it is Christ is all in all, and there is no experience outside of him that glorifies Jesus in our life. Number two, the second error we see is this tonight. Now, this is where I want you to stay with me, okay? Please stay with me. If you're still with me, say, "I'm here." Number one, the experience. Number two, though, is in performance. What do you mean, Brother Joey? Here's what we have to realize. The entire law of God was written to show us that we needed Jesus. Said, no, Brother Joey, no. Go to what the Bible says. The law was a schoolmaster to teach us that we need Jesus Christ in our life. It shows us that we don't measure up. It shows us that we're not perfect. It shows us that we need God in our life. And a lot of times in Christianity, people have the concept, hey, now that you've gotten saved, if you're going to please God, if you're going to live for God, you need to do all these types of things and live by that list of things in your life. Listen, Christian, I am not saying tonight that Christians don't live right. Please give me an opportunity to explain what I'm saying. But here's what I'm saying. There's some people that put more stock in what they are trying to do to please God and the fact of the God that is living inside of them. And understand this evening, my friend, you cannot add to Jesus. You can't get more power than the power of Jesus. And if somebody is trying to tell you tonight that you have to do this to please God and this to please God, that is a wrong type of thinking. My friend, I don't do things to please God. I do things because God is inside of me and he is leading me to please him. Big difference there. Big difference. Here's the argument. If you teach people that Jesus Christ is now their law and they are to be taught by grace and taught by Jesus, then it will lead to liberal living in their life. Well, let me make this statement. That is an incorrect thinking, and this is why. Because the grace of Jesus Christ and the law within is greater than the law without could ever be. What do you mean? Let's divide it up. Let's just go over a couple, can we? In the Old Testament, the outward law says, do not commit adultery. Adultery is wrong. Somebody say amen. The New Testament grace of Jesus says, don't even look up on a woman to have a bad thought. It's not even doing the act, my friend. It is the Spirit behind the act. Grace is greater than the law. Murder is wrong. Can I get a witness? Jesus said, if you and your... I didn't say this, Jesus did. See, some, we don't like this kind of thinking. But listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you hold it against your brother and you say raka, or you wish evil things would happen to people, you are a what? Murderer in your heart. And Jesus said, that is wicked. And understand, when we have Christ, we won't be killing people, but we won't be wanting to kill people. We won't be committing adultery. We won't be wanting to commit adultery. Why? Because grace is greater than the law. And Paul said, listen tonight, you don't allow anybody to tell you you need something more than Jesus. And he gives us three reasons why tonight, and we'll be done. Number one tonight, if you're taking notes, I want you to jot this down. Preacher, first of all, why tonight should we be loyal to Jesus alone and follow Jesus and be taught by Jesus? Number one, this is why. It's because Jesus is completely divine. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says this, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now the word fullness here in verse 9 means sum total. Listen tonight, Christian. Every inch of God was in Christ. It does not matter what we try to experience. Nothing is more God than Jesus. There is nothing better than God, and that means there's nothing better than Jesus. And hey, when you receive Christ as your Savior, when you turned from your sins and you believed in Christ and Christ came inside of you, you received all of God, and there's nothing more that you can receive. Receive. Why? Because Jesus was the fullness of God. And if you have Christ, you have the fullness of God inside of you. If you got that tonight, say amen. Number two, here it is. This is where I want to spend a little bit of time. Number one, Jesus completely divine. Number two, Jesus fixed our sin problem at the cross. He fixed our sin problem at the cross. What do you mean, Brother Joey? I want you to look at verse number 11. I want you to see this. Look what he says in verse number 11. He's talking to these people. Now remember, hey, look at me. Will you look at me again before I read it? Remember, read it in context. He's saying, don't you allow people to tell you that you need something other than Christ, that you need something outside of Jesus. Don't let people tell you that. And why? Look what he says in verse 11. He says this. He says, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, what in the world does that mean? Here's what it means tonight. When a person realizes, when they see the law of God and they realize what they have done and they're a sinner and they realize Jesus died for them. Now stay with me. The Bible doesn't say for a person to be saved, they have to kneel on their right knee and pray all these things. But the Bible does say, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever shall what? Call on the name of the Lord. You have to confess, Christ, I need you as my Savior. When a person says, Lord, I am turning from my sin, I want you in my life. The Bible says in verse number 11, the moment we knelt and asked Christ to be our Savior, wherever it was, the moment you believe that God in heaven came inside our wicked hearts and he did spiritual surgery. He did a spiritual transformation. Verse number 11, a circumcision, a spiritual pulling away, tearing away. He did a spiritual surgery inside of us. When he died on the cross, he made all that possible. And when we receive him, he does this spiritual surgery. But what is this spiritual surgery? Hey, tonight you're a Christian. What did God do inside of you? What did he do when you got saved? What did he do inside of you tonight? Look at verse 12. Look what he did, the first thing. He did. First of all, he did. Verse number 12, he did this. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Now watch this. The moment we get saved tonight as a Christian, the moment you get saved, the Bible says in Romans that God takes us as sinners. He places us in Christ. And when God looks down upon us, he sees Christ. He don't see my sin. He don't see my wickedness. He sees Jesus. Why? Because I have been placed in Christ. Boy, if you're thankful that night, say amen. Hey, tonight, what do you think about this? This cup right here represents Jesus. I want you to stay with me right here because, listen, some of us are struggling with this right here tonight. You would be honest. You're not going to get up and walk out of here and you're not going to say, boy, that's exactly right. But if you would be honest tonight, you're struggling as a Christian and you're wondering in your life, why, if Jesus is really all that the Bible says, why am I so empty? This bottle represents Jesus. This spiral right here represents us. Now watch this. The Bible says when I came to Christ, when I believed, the moment I turned from my sin and received Christ my Savior, that I was placed in Christ. And because of my faith, not an act, my faith, by faith, I've been placed in him. I am now in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God looks down upon me, he sees Jesus Christ and his righteousness, not my sin. Somebody say amen about that. Now watch this. Here's how some of us live. I'm saved, but I ain't pleasing God. I'm sure am trying hard. I'm almost there. Amen. I'm almost there. And you got it wrong. And you've allowed somebody to teach you. You've allowed somebody to get in your mind and tell you that you're not in Christ. But listen to me tonight. We do not have to live like we're outside of Christ. If we know Christ, we have been placed in Christ. And my friend, if I am in Christ, then I am in Christ. Somebody say amen. Look at this next thing, verse 13. What else did God do? When he did that professional spiritual surgery, he placed me in Christ, but I like this one. Verse number 13. Pay attention. Please pay attention. If you're still with me, say amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you tonight, you may be sitting here. I want to throw this at you. I'll tell you what I did this week. You don't have to. I'm going to tell you what I did. The Apostle Paul. How many of you here would say, I'm pretty sure he was saved? The Apostle Paul two times said this, examine yourself whether you be in the faith or not. Look at your own heart. Am I really, really saved? Paul said, I didn't say it. Paul said two times, said that. Strong statement. Look what happens in verse 13. Look at this. Verse number 13, look what the Bible says. Jesus said this, and you being what? Dead. In your trespasses and, in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he, will you say them next two words with me? Quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Now watch this. The first thing he did in verse 12 is he placed me in Christ. Don't miss this. The second surgery that Jesus did in my life when I got saved was he quickened me spiritually. What does this word quickened mean? Let me explain it to you. I thought this afternoon, I was like, God, how in the world can I illustrate this truth and people get a hold of it without them thinking I'm crazy? And it may be crazy. But please follow me. Stay with me right here, okay? Now, just for a little bit, I am going to be spiritually dead. I'm going to be what? Dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh. Watch this. What does spiritually dead mean? You ready for this? It means I am dead to spiritual life. What do you mean, Brother Joey? Righteousness does not appeal to me. I do not want to live righteous. Why? Because I'm dead to it. You listen to me? The Word of God does not appeal to me. Preaching does not appeal to me. Teaching does not appeal to me. Godly singing does not appeal to me. Why? Because I'm dead in my sins. If you're following me, say amen. But when I got saved, the Bible says, you hath he quickened together. The word quickened here is this picture. I would do it tonight, but I'm afraid I'd break my britches. Amen. Watch this. The word quickened here means you're laying there dead spiritually. And when you got Christ, you resurrected and you jumped up and you ran out of the room. That's what the word means. What does that mean? Here's what it means. Because what God did inside of me, I am now alive under Christ. And the things of Christ, I am now alive to it. Righteousness, listen to me, appeals to me. I want to live for God. Why? Because of what he did inside of me. The preaching of the Word of God. My heart connects with the Word. Teaching, my heart connects with it. Godly singing, my heart connects with it. Why? Because I have been quickened together in Christ. Somebody say amen. I would shout tonight, but I'm about to lose my voice. Third thing, look at verse 14. Look at this right here too. Look at verse 14. Brian, you were a blessing to me. This morning, you don't even know it. Look at verse 14. Look what he says. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. Pay attention to this. Nailing it to his what? To the cross. Verse 14, you know what he said? He said the life of sin and religion ended at the cross. Now think with me. There are some catchy words here. I don't want to confuse you. I don't want to confuse our young people tonight. But there's two things here that Paul said in verse 14 when Jesus died on the cross happened. A lot of people tonight, some of you sitting in this building, you're looking for an experience outside of Christ. you're not ever going to get it. Because I want to tell you, there isn't one that will satisfy your heart. You may experience it, but it won't satisfy you. There's only one place in your life that has a hole, and there's only one puzzle that will fill that hole, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Some of you are looking for an experience. Tonight, some of you are trying real, real hard to be a better Christian. And you're doing things instead of looking to the one. And you're trying to get all this stuff right in your life. And listen to me, you can't do that. You can't make deals with God. Okay, God, I'll do this, you do that. That ain't how it works. God is not, he's not in the business of us dueling with him. My friend, we either have Christ and yielded to him or we're not. Some of us tonight, though, stay with me here. We're haunted by sin in our life. It kills you. It kills you. It gets the best of you. And I want you to look what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 14 that when we come to Christ, stay with me, all of this is nailed to the cross. All of it. My religion, my sin, my everything is nailed to the cross. And Brian, you helped me with this morning when you were praying. I don't even know if you knew it. The moment you prayed it, though, boy, God dealt with me in my... When our sins have been nailed to the cross, after we receive Christ, because they're there, the rest of my life is lived in trying to do what Jesus wants me to do instead of everything that's on that cross. Somebody say amen right there. Here's where we are. Some of us are chasing this. And you say, but Joy, tonight, how can I have that fulfillment in my life of Christ? Joy. And I stop having to come to church and put my smile on like everything's okay. How can I have that in my heart? How can I have it in my soul? How can it be real in my life? Look at verse 15, what he says, and then I'm going to close and we'll be done. Boy, if that makes sense, say amen. I'm telling you, look what he says in verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. The third reason tonight we ought to be nothing but Jesus in our life is because Jesus offers complete victory. He offers complete victory in our life tonight. Do you understand tonight the word right here? Look at verse 15. He said, and having spoiled principalities and powers. Now, what is principalities and powers? In Ephesians, Paul talks a lot about this. Let me tell you what it is. You know what it is? Here's what it is. Pay attention right here. It is the devil's efforts against you in this world. The devil's efforts against you in this world. See, here's the thing about us that we have to understand. The devil has principalities and powers. He's the god of this world. He is the ruler of this world. He knows everything in this world. He knows how to attract our flesh and pull us away from Christ. But Bible says when Jesus died on the cross, not only did he deal with my sin, not only did he remove my sin, and now my life is all about what Christ wants me to be, but he said this, that Jesus Christ overcame the devil. He overcame the god of this world, and there is nothing in this world that can overpower me in my life. Now tonight, I want to pose this question. I want to get you ready for next Sunday morning, and I want to lead us here. If you're still with me tonight, say amen. Well, we got plenty of time. Stay with me. I got a question. Thursday, it's riding down the road up here. I just come past where Brother Brian and them live. There was a man about my age standing outside of his truck, leaning over the back of it, and he reached over there and he got a gas can. He started walking up the side of the road. And when I was walking up the side of the road, when I was riding by him, I'm telling you, I believe it was the Lord put in my mind, said, stop and get a man a ride. And my thought was this, I don't have my gun. Just say, I'm weak. I know. But that's the first thought in my mind. I don't have my gun with me. And I got to the top of the hill over here by the water tower. And after fighting with God, going back and forth in that little quarter mile, I said, okay, God. And I turned around. And I went back, and I rolled down the window. And when I pulled up by him, I said, man, you want a ride? He said, man, that'd be awesome. He got in the truck. And I looked over him, and I said, hey, I'm Joey. What's your name? He gave me his name. I said, where are you from? He said, I just moved here from Enterprise. He said, I cut trees for a living. Not the guy that we baptized this morning. I cut trees for a living. And I started walking. I said, well, how'd you come here?
And he said, can I be on? I said, yeah, go ahead. I said, man, and I said, before you start, though, I said, can I give you this in case we don't get a chance? I said, I want to invite you to our church. And inside there's some things that changed my life. And then here's what he said. He said, man, a couple years ago in my life, I've been on drugs for 15 years. He said, and I got saved. I gave my life to the Lord Jesus. He said, for a couple years, I did great. He said, but a couple months ago in Enterprise, I got to hanging around the wrong people. And here's what he said. He said, I got right back into my old habits. He said, I just moved here trying to run from it, trying to get away from it. And then here's what he said. He said, I don't know if I'm ever going to get out of this. If you're following me, say amen. If you don't believe what I'm saying, you don't talk to people. You don't work with people in this town. Here's why I told him. I said, let me tell you what I believe. I believe the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is not only able to forgive you of everything, but he can keep you from that and he can deliver you out of that on a daily basis in your life. If I'm right about it. And then I said this to him. I said, but you have to learn to let Jesus control your life. And he said, well, how do you do that? And I said, I'm preaching on it Sunday night. Won't you come? He's not here. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, some of us in this building tonight, you may not be on drugs, but you're bound. You say, but Joey, if I'm saved and Jesus inside of me, then why am I so miserable? Why do I not feel fulfilled? Why do I not have spiritual power in my life? Why does my attitude keep getting me? Why do I keep struggling with bitterness? Why depression? Why, Brother Joey, why is Christ not all in all in my life? And I want to give you a story, and I want to challenge you why it is. There's a story of a husband and wife I read for 3 years. They lived in the same house, different lives. The husband had one job, the wife had another. The husband had one bank account, the wife had another. The husband had one room with a TV, the wife had another. The husband had one time of day that they ate, and the wife had another. They never talked to each other. They never communicated. They never listened to each other. They never spent time together, yet they lived in the same house. And after 3 years, one day, the man walked in the house, and here's what he said. I'm tired of living like this. We're either going to do what we need to do and learn to communicate with one another, or I'm leaving and I'm going to go find something else. Now watch me. That's what's happening to people spiritually in their lives. They got Jesus in their life. Christ is inside of them. They have been placed in Christ. They have desires to please God. They have been surgically, spiritually, surgery if they can, that they want to do what God wants them to do, yet they're empty. Why? Because they have Christ inside of them, but they are not listening to Jesus. They are not listening to God in their life. They are not yielding to God. They are not surrendering to God. They are not submitting to God in their life. And hey, Christian, if you want Christ and his fullness in your life and you may be saved, you can have it tonight. But you have to yield to Jesus in your life. How do we do that, Brother Joy? You stay focused on him and his word. Listen tonight, Christian. Brother Mickey said it a while ago. We say it all the time. If you're going to be a victorious Christian, you got to get in this book. Somebody say amen. And every day, you got to wake up and put your mind on Jesus. Whatever you got to do, you got to sing. Whatever you got to do, you got to get your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay focused on him and his word. Number two, you stay away from things that dull your senses. Stay with me. If you're still with me, say amen. I'm trying to help us tonight. Some of you in this building, you're miserable because you fill your life with things that dull your senses. You know what your senses do? They allow you to focus on Christ. And if your mind has been plagued, my son's right here, by video games all day, your mind is going to be paralyzed to focusing on Christ. I'm not against video games. These boys have one. But hours of video games paralyzes your senses. Paralyzes you. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Paralyze. I'm not saying don't get on it, but I'm saying hours of it paralyzes your senses. You got to focus on Christ.
But then this last thing here, you got to stay focused on His Word. You got to stay away from things that dull your senses, but you got to stay surrendered to Him. Listen, this evening, and I'm done. I'm closing up, and we're going to pray. We're going to be done. Watch this. You know, I told you, I was riding down the road, and I'm ashamed. As your pastor, I'm ashamed to even say this. God spoke to me. He said, pick that man up. I'm ashamed to tell you that I kept driving down the road. And I'm ashamed to tell you that I turned around up there after I turned around and said, should I really do this? I'm not telling women here to do this. It could be women should not do this. Amen. The Spirit of God's not going to lead you to do that. Amen. But listen, you know what I was doing? I was arguing with the voice inside of me telling me what to do. And sir, when you get ready to get mad, what do you do with the voice that talks to you? Reject it? That's why you're so miserable. Ma'am, what do you do when you get ready to tell your husband off? And the Spirit of God says, don't do it. Do you let it out anyway? That's why you're so miserable. You not only have to focus on Christ, you not only have to stay away from those things that dull your senses, but you have to stay surrendered. When Christ speaks to you from the law within Romans 6 and Romans 8, you have to yield to it, to do what He tells you to do. Why? Because He is trying to lead you to obey Christ and fill with the fullness of Christ. Let's pray together. Father, God, will You help us tonight? Lord Jesus, help us, please. Lord, this evening in our lives, it is so easy as Christians to get to the point where we merely exist as believers. We merely just live in this world as old, dusty, and dry believers, lifeless, powerless, fireless, because we have given in to those things that would steal the joy of Christ in our life. Lord, tonight I'm thankful for the caution to beware lest any man spoil you, ruin you, spiritually ruin your life through vain deceit and philosophy. Lord, tonight we cannot perform and be more like Jesus. We cannot experience something outside of Christ. It is being yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. God, tonight I pray as believers, we will be committed to Your Word. Christian, tonight you're sitting out there and you say, Brother Joy, that's me. I'm just existing. I'm not experiencing joy in my life. I'm just existing. I want to ask you, how much a day are you spending in this Word? You cannot bypass it. You've got to get your mind on Jesus. Whatever it is, every day of your life, you've got to focus on Christ and His Word. Some of you tonight, you said, Brother Joy, I'm excited on Sunday, but by Monday it's gone because something is dull in your senses. What kind of music are you listening to? Brother Joy, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. You can't feed flesh and the things of this world into your soul and expect to have room to focus on Christ. You have to yield to Christ and be yielded to Christ and be sensitive to Christ and things that dull your senses. You cannot allow those things to paralyze you that you can't focus on Him. And tonight, you got to listen to Him. Maybe tonight as a Christian, you want to come and say, Lord, teach me. Teach me, God, to yield to You in my life. Teach me, God, to allow You to be in control of my life. And Lord, I know Your grace is going to be greater than the law I've been trying to live. I'm not only going to do right, I'm going to be right. Not only am I going to do right on the outside, but in my spirit I'm going to be right because You will be leading my life. God, I pray You'll help me. Tonight will You come. Let's pray, Father. Right now will You have Your way in our hearts and lives. Do what only You can, Jesus. Teach us, Lord, to yield to You. Help us not to live outside the abundance of Christ. Some of us, Lord, we're just barely breathing spiritually. Help us, Lord, to get a hold of Christ and the fullness of Christ in our life. God, will You help us this evening? Thank You for loving us. Thank You for Your Word. Work in us now, Jesus. We pray in Your name. If You would, let's stand to our feet. Brother Mickey's going to begin to sing. As he sings, you'd like to come pray. Christian, come pray tonight. If God's talking to you, obey his voice. You listen to him tonight as we sing this evening. God is talking to you. Come on, ma'am, will you? Listen to me, ma'am. That emptiness, that drought in your life is because you're not yielding to him. You're not yielding to God in your life. You're not listening to the voice of God. You have a law inside of you that is greater than anything this world has to offer. Ma'am, you come just this night. Sir, will you come? The help you need is in Christ. The help you long for is in Christ. Teenager, listen. It's not enough to obey your parents. You need to be obedient in your heart. Be yielded to God. There is a big difference in doing right and being right. Grace will not only lead us to do right, but it will lead us to be right in our life. May Jesus have his way in our life. Brother Mickey, will you sing again? God's speaking. Sir, you come. You humble yourself. You come get help tonight. You come let Jesus help you. Don't you deny that voice of God speaking to you in your ear. Don't you deny that voice. You yield to it in your life. Mickey, will you lead us in that first verse? Hey, if you know it, let's sing it with him tonight as he leads us.
Just as I am.
Father, this evening, Lord, we thank you for loving us. God, I'm so thankful for my salvation. Lord, I'm also thankful for the truth of the Word of God and my need, Lord, to yield to you, my need to learn to listen to you and to not dull my senses, Lord, with the things of this world and not even bad things, Lord, sometimes, but too much. And we give ourselves to things that don't matter. And Lord, tonight I pray for believers in this room that are struggling. God, I know it, I know you know it. God, I even sense in my own soul that God, we've got some folks that are just hanging on. They're really struggling and worrying with things in their life. And God, just teach us tonight. Teach us to be so Christ-focused that nothing else matters. And the help that we need is in the Lord Jesus. And God, will you do this for us this evening? And help us to be your people and work in our hearts. May we be witnesses this week unto others of you. And bring us back Wednesday evening, Lord, for our discipleship hour. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being such a good God to us, Jesus. We ask this in your name. And all God's people say it. Hey, just for you all, let me say two things. Number one, don't forget the no nursery. We got so many people out with